Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're visiting with John Guandolo, the last segment of this very special conversation with a man who really does understand the threat we're facing from the global jihad. John, you have given us a lot to think about, and one piece of this that is particularly frustrating to me, and I know to you as well, is that last week, the Congress of the United States overwhelmingly, the House of Representatives specifically, overwhelmingly voted to extend this so-called countering violent extremism training program across the country and has allocated $50 million in previously appropriated funds for that purpose. John, first of all, knowing what you do about this countering violent extremism program, knowing who have been the architects of it, knowing what we're not allowed to say or to think or to be trained in as it goes forward, what would your estimate be is going to be the likely effect of ramping up this project in law enforcement agencies around the country?
Yes, I would say it's the same as the government giving hundreds of billions of dollars to Iran, the number one nation state sponsor of terrorism in the world. It's we're giving money to the very groups that are trying to silence us, and the very same groups that represent ISIS and Al-Qaeda. These are not... This is not an organizational war. This is a threat from a global Islamic movement. These guys are a part of that movement. The Supreme Court has said that being a part of something like this, you can't sift through which are the good parts and which are the bad parts. The assumption legally is that all parts serve the greater cause. And in this case, the greater cause is they're seeking to destroy our way of life and overthrow our constitutional republic.
And John Guandolo, that, just to be clear, that is not your assertion. That is not the musings, the imaginings of even people who are knowledgeable and expert in this subject. That is the explicit stated purpose of the Muslim Brotherhood, and for that matter, the other Islamic supremacist organizations, is it not?
That is exactly right. And what I find as I go around the country, when you have district attorneys, county attorneys, state attorneys, law enforcement people at the personnel at the state level, and even sometimes the federal level, they are astounded that these groups like ISNA, NAIT, CARE, Muslim Americans are not already indicted, shut down. We have their money and all their leaders in jail, as well as the people in our government and in our communities that are materially supporting them and aiding and abetting them. So, yes, this is not a matter of conjecture. This is all a matter of fact. It is the issue is a matter of will to actually fight the enemy instead of surrendering to them. Or in the case of, I think leaders at DHS and the Attorney General's office actually aiding and abetting them.
John, let me ask you about one issue that's just come to my attention. I listen from time to time to National Public Radio, and they have just taken on a sponsor recently called the Zakat Foundation. And I just wonder, would you shed light on what is Zakat and what does a Zakat Foundation do with such funds as it receives from the Muslim community?
To cut right to the chase, in Islamic law, zakat, because it comes right out of the Quran, there are eight categories of zakat. And what zakat is it is mandatory giving by Muslims. It's a mandatory fee that they have to pay every year. All Muslims who reach the criteria for a given year, they have to pay it. As a matter of fact, I'll remind your listeners that the President of the United States, while in a foreign country, said it, we need to make it easier for Muslims to pay their zakat. And so the eight categories are listed in Islamic law as a part of mandatory giving for all Muslims who reach the criteria, which most of them obviously do. And the seventh category, I'm just going to read it verbatim. The seventh of the eight categories that the zakat has to be split among is those fighting for Allah. The seventh category is those fighting for Allah, meaning people engaged in Islamic military operations for whom no salary has been allotted in the army roster. So 1/8 at a minimum of all zakat collected by every Muslim on the planet goes to fund jihad, what we call terrorism. And by the way, there are other categories in there that are also used, like providing money for the needy. That is often includes families of the shaheeds, those who kill themselves or die in jihad, etc.
John, what this public radio system is doing now, in the name of helping call attention to one of its sponsors, is using basically a publicly funded entity to promote an entity that is involved by its very nature in assisting not simply charitable good works, perhaps, but at least in part, the jihad. I mean, this is unbelievable, and it's happening again. You mentioned earlier a comparison to the so-called nuclear deal with Iran, and what a travesty that was. Well, this is another travesty because NPR was also involved in enemy propaganda enabled by another of its sponsors, the Plowshare Fund, promoting a very, very, very dangerous deal, so-called deal with this Islamic Republic of Iran. Talk for a moment, if you would, about what it has meant to people like you doing jobs protecting the rest of us, if instead of using the facts of the kind that you've developed here with us, there are now considerations that are deemed to be more important, like civil rights and civil liberties, that are now constraining how FBI agents or, you know, prosecutors or others, military and intelligence included, do their jobs on behalf of the American people.
It can be very frustrating, but I don't get bogged down in that. I think the objective here is to defend the Republic. I believe, based on all of the indicators out there, that we are in a very dangerous situation. As the global Islamic movement turns its focus from the Islamic countries to the West, Europe and North America, we are going to see a massive increase in actual violent, both at the national and in local areas, but massive increase in violence coming from the jihadis. And it won't just be one guy in Orlando, it'll be a dozen or 50. And that idea, it'll be, you know, in one place you might have 50, and across the country you have 10 or 20 things going on at once. So you literally have just what people probably today think is inconceivable. What I think is most difficult to swallow is not that the jihadis are doing that. That's what they do. You know, if you have a rabid dog and you bring it into your house and bites your child, that's your problem. That's a mistake you made. You know, a rabid dog is going to do what a rabid dog does, and you have to deal with it. But when people who are working in our government and swear an oath, a legally binding oath to the Constitution, are literally aiding and abetting the enemy and materially supporting terrorism by providing funding, by providing propaganda, in the case of the White House, this administration providing money and arms to known al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood groups in Syria and Libya, these are crimes, and the way we're founded is that the final adjudicator in America are the people.
Yep. John Guardolo,
we need
with
to
that,
hold people accountable.
We have to hold them accountable indeed, and you're doing your part. Thank you so much for joining us here at Secure Freedom Radio, for the work you do at UnderstandingTheThreat.com, your important book, Raising a Jihadi Generation. Come back to us again very soon, my friend. I hope the rest of you will do the same again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.